Mike 8, Dr. George Roberts.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
We are currently in the middle of the Lenten season, on our way to Jerusalem, on our way to Calvary. The open tomb, Easter morning. And this is a period of preparation, a period in which we look at ourselves, at our sins, and that which nailed Christ to the cross. And yet, in the middle of this Lenten period comes Lycoris Sunday. The Sunday means for the infant, which we rejoice. Ye with Jerusalem, and be glad with her, all ye that love her. And with all praises, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And so midway in Lent, in this period of reflection, we pause to give thanks and to rejoice for all that God has done for us and is doing for us during this Lenten season. And Isaiah the prophet also felt this joy. He looked into the future and beyond the immediate future, for their immediate future was not very bright. The Assyrians were on the horizon and were soon inflicting. The Babylonians were going to appear and carry them away. And yet Isaiah tells the children of Israel, with joy shall we draw water out of the wells of salvation. He begins this psalm, which is chapter 12, says, in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. And so he speaks of the joy that we will have, the joy for ourselves, the joy of personal possession in that day. Which he is defined in the chapter immediately preceding. And he says, and in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand from anything of the people, to it shall the Gentiles speak. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again a second time to recover the remnant of his people. And so this joy which we seek and which we find in drawing water from the wells of salvation, is a joy of personal possession. So this water of salvation is both pardon and comfort. Thou wast angry with me. And this is the natural reaction of God, for anger is his holiness reacting against sin. And whenever he sees sin, his anger is alive. But thou wast angry, though thou wast angry with me, thine anger was turned away, and thou comforted me. For this anger was not for the purpose of destruction, but rather for the purpose of pressing to repentance. And so his anger brings us to repentance with which he comforts us with the assurance of his divine love. With the assurance that God, that Christ has bestowed upon us with the riches of his redemption. For in that day, all the works of God and the plans of God have been completed. And so we have pardon and comfort, we have peace and trust. Behold, God is my salvation, I will trust and not be afraid. We have the objective fact that God is my salvation. This has been stated, proven, carried out by God himself entirely apart from any human action. And it relies not salvation is for us, and it is upon that which we can trust. And so he concludes the first half of the psalm saying, "The Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has also become my salvation." And this idea of the objectivity of salvation is the theme of the entire section, the entire chapter of Isaiah. Because this is what will give us the joy of finding the water and drawing water out of the wells of salvation, which are close to us, which are the source of everything that will remove that which separates us from God, and that which causes all uneasiness and all unrest. And so this third verse sums up not only the first half of the psalm, but it stands as an introduction to the second half. "For with joy shall we draw water out of the wells of salvation, and in that day we shall say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted." And so, while the first half is addressed to us and for ourselves and speaks of the joy of personal possession, the second half of the psalm is addressed to others and speaks of the joy of transmission. Again, in that day, in the day when the Lord's salvation is complete, when Christ is on the cross, that it is finished and everything has been completed, in that day we have then the joy of transmission. And what do we transmit when we find these waters and draw these waters out of the well of salvation? We have the water of knowledge, because we are to praise or confess his name. His name, of course, is the revelation which he himself has made concerning himself in all of Scripture. Declare his doing among men. And now he advances to the thought of preaching. This is the transmission of that which we have and believe in our own hearts to all of mankind around us, to the great Gentile nation, to all of the completed Israel. He says, "Declare his doing, his great and magnificent deed." And so Isaiah is a prophet of fact. St. Paul was an apostle of fact. They did not deal with philosophy. They did not preach theory. They were not concerned with the philosophy of Christ, with moralizing, with fine words, but they were concerned with absolute, objective facts, the things that God has done, the great deeds that God has done for us, actual, unchanging reality. So they declare his doings among the people, making mention of his name is exalted. Referring to, again, the name of God, the essence of God, what God is and has done, not the folly of rationalism, which attempts to drag man down to the level of, drag God down, rather, to the level of man and man's understanding, but it is God representing to man God's own revelation of whom he himself. And so we, as the followers of Isaiah and Paul, will present the fact of what God has done, the great deed of God. And in doing this, we will bring up the waters of faith. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. He will proclaim the whole counsel of God, God's gospel, the Lord's program based